This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We are glad that you're here with us as we gather in this place to worship our Lord in spirit and truth. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we'd invite you to take a visitor's card and fill that out and drop that in the offering plate as we collect our offering today. Let me call your attention to some announcements. And I want to start by saying it's good to be home. It's good to be back from Whitley City, Kentucky. David and Maureen are still there. They'll be coming back this Thursday. Linda, she's here. Barbara's here. Peyton, she's here. Luann's here. Darlene's here. Justin Leonard's not here. And Barbara Rosser, she's here. And I'm here. That was our mission team. We had 9 from our church that went and served in many different capacities. We'll have a time before long to talk about the work we've done and the work that continues to be done there. So we'll let you know. You can come be a part of that. Tonight at 6 p.m., we'll be gathering here for a concert, really, Spiritual Food for the Soul. And I was talking with Jimmy, and he says, kind of a bluegrass gospel, but also folks who love the Lord. And that comes through in their playing and in their sharing. And then immediately following that, we're going to have ice cream and dessert. And we remember we're bringing that ice cream and dessert. So we desperately need you to come and be a part of that as we share just kind of a fifth Sunday night sing. You remember those? That's what we're doing tonight. And I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. There are many announcements in our bulletin, and I hope you'll take advantage of reading over those. There's a sign up in the atrium for the annual women's conference. And the speaker there will be our speaker in March of this year. And we're excited about that. You would want to go hear her. She is well known for being a wonderful speaker for our Lord. And so you would want to take advantage of that. Are there any other announcements that need to come before us tonight, today? Hearing, seeing none. Have you ever heard someone speak, but you had to really listen? You had to really listen to hear what they had to say, but it was worth it. Today God will speak. And he'll speak clearly. But we really have to listen. As we take just a moment to prepare to worship, would you ask God how you could listen well to what he says as our instrument plays and then as we invite him through our invocation to be in our midst?
Indeed, you are our Lord.
You are our master. You direct our lives. You give us good counsel. You give us strength when we are weak, and you give us hope when we are challenged. You give us grace when we are wrong. Heavenly Father, we are in your presence, and we would live differently this week if we would worship you well this morning. So, Lord, would you give us ears to hear and a desire more than anything else to hear your voice this morning, to hear your word this morning, and to apply your lordship to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Let's stand as we sing, 139.
pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and the many blessings that you have given us. Please be with those that could not be here today, and please open our minds so that we may receive your word. We pray for your will this week, and we ask that you use and bless this offering to further your kingdom. In these things we pray, amen.
Wow, good morning. You all look so nice and pretty this morning and handsome. So good to see you. I'm glad to be with you. Well, Pastor Taylor this morning is going to talk about endurance, and that's kind of a big word, but that means that when you have a problem, you're going to keep on going. You're not going to give up. You're not going to just stop and say, you're going to keep the faith because we know that God loves us. It's going to be with us. So, let's talk about endurance. It's like my mic needs fixed. I have three things in the bag that I want to share with you. The first one is a carrot. When you put carrot in boiling water, it turns really soft, doesn't it? Just gets real hard, soft, kind of mushy, right? And I have an egg. If you put an egg in boiling water, it gets hard, doesn't it? The opposite of the carrot. This is boiled. I didn't dare bring one that I didn't boil. So this is already hard. This is a hard egg, a boiled egg. It's been in hot water. And the third thing are coffee beans. And I've already been smelling these coffee beans. It's a wonderful aroma. When you put these coffee beans in boiling water, they change the color of the water. And they give out this wonderful aroma. Mm. Yeah. Well, the boiling water represents us being in hot water. That's an expression that means that we're in trouble. That things are not going very well.
Well, the egg
turned soft, didn't it?
It became hard inside and out.
That means
that if we are like
the egg, we become stubborn and we become angry at God.
That's how we react.
We were like an egg. if we were like a carrot that became real soft, we would become grumbly. But if we
react like coffee beans, we obey and we still trust in God.
And we
know that we're going to keep our faith.
And like this gives out an aroma.
It still smells so good.
We might make people change and we might make people feel good. A fragrance of God. So
let's read some scripture. I took my scripture from Romans.
Romans 5, 3 through 5. This is Paul talking, and he says, "But we also boast in our sufferings,
knowing that suffering
produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope.
And hope
does not disappoint us, because God's love," now listen to this part, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." You see, God offers us faith. When we have a problem or something's wrong, we're not going to give up because
God offers
us faith. God is greater than any problem that we have. So if we have faith and we keep on and on going, we don't give up, we're going to be like the coffee bean. This week, I want you to think about the coffee bean. I want you to keep and give out that
wonderful abundance of God.
Amen.
Okay? All right, let's pray.
Dear Lord, we find
ourselves in hot water. Let us remember that you are with us. When we have a problem, let us keep our faith because we know that you love us. Your Holy Spirit in our heart. We pray. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. Come back. Beautiful.
Beautiful sight to see all these children down here listening to God's word. Let's turn to hymn number 66, Day by Day. Let's stand as we sing. Day by day.
Thank you. Psalms 31, 9 through 16. Have pity on me, O Lord, because I am in distress. My eyes, my soul, and my body waste away from grief. My life is exhausted from sorrow. My years from groaning. My strength staggers under the weight of my guilt. And my bones waste away. I have become a disgrace because of all my opponents. I have become someone dreaded by my friends, even by my neighbors. Those who see me on the street run away from me. I have faded from memory as if I were dead and have become like a piece of broken pottery. I have heard the whispering of many people, terror on every side, while they made plans together against me. They were plotting to take my life. I trust you, O Lord. I said, you are my God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from my enemies, from those who persecute me. Smile on me. Save me with your mercy.
Just want to take a moment to update you on our prayer list. Mr. Rick Bridges had surgery this past Tuesday to get his knee replaced, and he came through very well, and he's doing well. Pastor Gary just spoke with him a little while ago, and he had a good report. Maureen Acock, we want to remember her as she's come down with Bell's palsy, and she is still in Kentucky with David, and they're serving, so please just continue to remember them in your prayers. We also want to remember Marguerite Garner, who has come home from the hospital, and she's at home, and she's accepting visitors. If you would like to go and see her or send her a card, you're welcome to do so. So please just keep these people in your prayers as you pray throughout the week. Now let us pray. God, we come to you now and take a minute to pause and lift up everyone that is on this prayer list. God, we know that there are many needs, and we know you are aware of each one. We just ask that you would bring comfort, healing, or peace to each of these situations as you see fit. We also ask that you help us to turn our hearts and minds towards receiving your word in just a few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our anthem today is based on John 3, 16 and 17. Every time you hear the choir sing the word world, listen to God saying your name.
open your Bibles with me. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 18. I'm reading from the NIV, so it's going to be a little bit different than your Bible that you have there in the pew, but we're still getting the same message. So if you would, go ahead and stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I feel like I have so many things up here with me this morning. Anyway, bear with me. About 3 weeks ago, I was on a mission trip in Rockingham, North Carolina with our youth. We had just experienced a powerful worship service, and I had on my mind that in just a few short weeks, I would be preaching. I was praying and asking God to lay something on my heart, and he led me to this passage that we just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. At the time, I didn't know how this particular passage was relevant or what I was going to be talking about, but I read it over and then laid it to the side to come back to. I also didn't know why it was so long, because it is a long passage, but we're going to get through it. So I want you to fast forward with me to the Sunday after we arrived back from camp. Kevin and I were sitting in my office preparing to come into the worship service, and Kevin's mom called. Watching Kevin's reaction to the phone call, I knew this was not good news that he was receiving. He hung up and told me that his grandfather, Mr. William Perry, had passed away that morning. Both of us were not expecting this, but we knew without a doubt that Mr. Perry, or Papa, as we like to call him, was home. We grieved his loss because it completely caught us off guard, but at the same time, we thought about the long and wonderful life he had lived. Papa spent every day trying to show God's love to those around him and was faithful even until the very end of his days. His celebration of life was scheduled for Wednesday morning, so on Tuesday, Kevin and I went down to Smithfield for the visitation and then stayed with my grandparents Tuesday night for the service the following morning. On Wednesday morning, I woke up and I glanced at Facebook, as I often do when I'm going about my morning routine, and I noticed several posts about one of my friends from my home church in Richmond, David. The post said, David has been taken to the hospital for a medical emergency. Please pray. David was a young guy who had some issues in the past with kidney stones, and so I thought, well, maybe it has something to do with that. About 45 minutes later, my brother Josh called me. I answered, thinking it was unusual for him to be calling me first thing in the morning. He said, Taylor, did you see Heidi's post about David? I said, yes. Is everything okay? He then said, Taylor, David has passed away. Pure and utter shock washed over me like the biggest wave at the ocean had just knocked my feet out from under me. How could a healthy young man who was fine yesterday be dead? That morning, David had been experiencing unusually painful leg pain. Heidi, his wife, immediately called for an ambulance, and on the way to the hospital, David passed away. David had a blood clot in his leg that traveled to his heart. For the past week, the questions have been scattered throughout my brain. How do these things happen? We have so much technology that makes us feel like we actually have a say in what happens in life over death. But then something like this happens and it completely stops you in your tracks. Some days I wake up and it doesn't seem real. Like Papa, David was a man of God who lived his life out to the fullest, serving Jesus with each and every action that he took and word that he spoke. Without a doubt, I know that David is in heaven, but that doesn't cause my mind to worry. What worries me is how do his wife and daughter, who is just about to start college, carry on while their rock, Heidi's husband, and Hannah's daddy is no longer present with them when it seems as though his life was just getting to the good stuff. After spending time with God in prayer and asking a lot of hard questions and sitting with him in the midst of grief, I suddenly remembered that passage that he had led me to in the weeks prior. Although I didn't know it at the time, when I first turned to these verses several weeks back, they would become my comfort as I read over them with a whole new perspective. I know this is a long passage, but I didn't have the heart to cut anything out because I felt this whole section to be so powerful. So we're going to divide it up into sections. So if you have your Bible and want to follow along, you can. The first section I want us to look at is going to be verses 7 through 12. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. In this analogy, we are the jars of clay. It represents how God has formed each one of us with his own hands, making us uniquely and completely his. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. This continues along with the analogy of working with clay. If you've ever made anything out of clay, you know that the medium itself is very flexible and easy to mold. But in order to maintain the desired shape, it has to be placed in the fire to become a finished piece. This got me thinking about situations that come up in our lives that we never expect to happen. Sometimes it can feel like we are being placed under fire because of these situations. But God, who created us and called us to live this life, is still right there inside of us, keeping us from being crushed into a thousand little pieces. Which leads us to the next set of verses, 10 through 12. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Here, Paul is bringing the focus not only to the jars of clay themselves, which will eventually perish like our mortal bodies, but is instructing us to look at the treasure which is inside of them, inside of us, God's power. His power allows us to share the good news with all people and to do his good work. But it is not by our own power we are able to do this, but through the power of God working through us. Every day we need to remind ourselves that we are privileged to remain on this earth because of the death that Jesus died for our sins. We don't deserve it, and we didn't earn it, but we're required to live like it actually happened. Living like Jesus wants us to also means realizing that our time here on earth is not something to be taken for granted. Our bodies will eventually fail us, and we will move on from this place. But what will the legacy you leave behind be? Let's continue to look at the next section of Scripture, but before we do, I want to share a story with you. At camp, we were also blessed with some wonderful worship leaders who taught us some very powerful songs. One of the songs that stuck out to me was called "Oh My Soul," and it's by a group called Casting Crowns. Now, I'm a person that always likes to know the background behind a song and why it's written. So I Googled this week, and I found an interview with the author, Mark Hall. Mark wrote this song during a very difficult time in his life. Mark was diagnosed with cancer during a routine physical when they found a tumor the size of his kidney in his kidney. He recalls how when he heard the news, all he heard was, "You're going to die." But thankfully, Mark did not die. In going through the emotional roller coaster of dealing with terminal illness, he wrote these words: "Oh my soul, oh how you worry, oh how you're weary from fearing you've lost control. This is the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you if you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away so no one knows. No one will see if you stop believing. Here and now, you can be honest. I won't try to promise that someday it all works out. Because this is the valley, and even now he is breathing on your dry bones. And there will be dancing, there will be beauty where beauty was ash and stone. This much I know." And then the chorus says this: "Oh my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how you can lay this down, because you're not alone." The line that stuck out to me most was, "There's a place where fear has to face the God you know." Mark describes this as a feeling he felt inside of him that he kept bumping into, revealing a deep truth that he had begun to bury when he got the news about his cancer. The roots of his faith were pointing him to the truth that God was still in control and still working in his life. This line describes how eventually our feelings and our fear have to face God, who we know is continuing to do good work within us. Ultimately, our death is not up to us. We don't get to decide when or how, but this is where our faith steps in. We know that God has a plan for our lives and even our deaths, and because of that, there is grace in both. Looking back at Scripture, verse 13, it says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." Right here, we are reminded that our faith in Jesus requires us to not only believe, but to act. In this specific situation, action means speaking out the truth that Jesus is Lord. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. What a comfort this is to us as Christians, to know that we are taken care of and that we know where we're going. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. When we spread the good news, which we just talked about above, more and more people come to know the truth that Jesus is Lord and that he wants to be in relationship with us. As Christians, this should be our mission and our hope that we can daily live out a life that brings more and more people to Christ, again, choosing to live in the resurrection. Finally, our last section, looking at verses 16 through 18. "Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Don't let today's trouble follow you into tomorrow. That's easier said than done, but God is constantly at work within us, bringing peace and seeking to give us new mercies each day." These next two verses are my favorite. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is unseen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Faithful endurance with the assurance of ultimate victory. I have that written in the front of my Bible to remind me that even though I face trials of many kinds, my God calls me to remain faithful, and sometimes that requires endurance. But it is also through my faith in Jesus and in trusting him as my personal Savior and Lord that I am assured that one day I will join him in heaven. Today we may experience heartbreak, financial trouble, relationship issues, sickness that completely turns our world upside down. But the good news is that this isn't the world we must live in forever. We are on a journey, and this earth is just a stop on the way home. Our bodies are like jars of clay. We are molded by the one who created us to live uniquely as ourselves on this earth. But we aren't just created to remain on this earth and just die. We were created to serve as his representatives to all people, showing them his love and inviting them to come and live in the truth that he is the Savior with whom they cannot truly live without. And eventually, whenever that time comes to join him in heaven, we can know that without a doubt, it is our time to go there and we can have peace. These verses have brought me comfort amidst heartache in thinking about ones that we have lost in the past weeks. But really, after reading through these verses, I don't like to define it as loss anymore. On this earth, we may feel an emptiness for the person that once filled that void, but really, we didn't lose them because we know where they are. Today, maybe you're feeling like you're losing an everyday battle with something that challenges you in your life. Why not lay it down? Or maybe you don't know what it feels like to totally put your faith in Jesus because you've never done so. What's stopping you today? And maybe as a church, God is leading us to surround people who are hurting or are going through rough times. Who might you need to reach out to today to offer a prayer for endurance? God is waiting and he's moving in your life each and every day. How is he leading you today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how good it is to be your child, to know that at whatever age we may be on this earth, you're still our creator. God, while we know that your plan is perfect and good, sometimes it still hurts. Sometimes we don't understand, Lord, your will, and we want to so badly. Help us to find peace. Help us to remember that you are a good father who is constantly upholding us and keeping us from being crushed by our own sinful nature. I would ask that if there were anyone in this room today who does not know you as Savior, that they would stop waiting and come forward today, for we don't know what tomorrow brings. God, help us to be faithful. We love and praise your holy name. Amen.
I invite you to open your hymn book to page 519. What a powerful word that God has spoken. But although there are those things we do see, sometimes taking all our attention, we are people of faith. And it is that unseen hand, that unseen spirit that leads us. Thank you, Taylor. Sharing that word, I will say. And I feel God's spirit in this place. Maybe there is someone here today that your spirit heard God say something to you about where you are in your world. Maybe in your loss. Maybe in your pain. We're going to sing face to face with Christ. That's really the invitation. The opportunity to come into his presence and know that this is a temporary journey that God has prepared.
much for you. And if you're ready for that, maybe he's putting your neighbor or family member who's not ready for that in your heart and on your mind, as God said. And then, what will we say to God? Whether you need to come publicly or privately, may each of us take this moment to speak to our God. We'll leave the worship center to go into the mission. Would you stand with me? Spoke to our hearts today about that faithful endurance. And I know that is our prayer. We are a body of believers. When folks struggle, we struggle with them. And we experience that in Kentucky, where there are just more struggles on every corner. And we saw God's grace, and we saw the faithful endurance of those that love them and minister to them. Difficult days. Great challenge for all of us. Remember tonight that we'll gather here for a time of worship and a time of praise. Good opportunity to invite someone who might just like bluegrass music to come and hear what God would say in this opportunity. And then, of course, we look forward to the time of sharing fellowship after we have been next to us. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's enduring peace and in His enduring presence. his enduring power, that we might be his people of faithful endurance in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, help us never give up. Help us never to underestimate your call upon our life. And although there will be struggles, and although it is appointed unto man once to be born and once to die, and after that the judgment, Lord, remind us of your unseen power and your unseen hand. Go with us from this place that we might share your life. In Jesus' name we pray.